runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 522, OneDrive for Business with guest Stephen Rose. Recorded Monday, January 30th, 2017. Run As Radio is produced each week by PWOP Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. Bringing back one of my favorite guests in the whole world, Stephen Rose, who today is the Director of Product Marketing for OneDrive for Business. Before joining Microsoft, he spent 10 years as an IT consultant, working with Fortune 500 companies, as well as a speaker at IT and developer conferences worldwide. He used to be an MCSE, an MCT, and a two-time MVP, but he's none of those things now. He's a director.
Yes, I am. How are you, Richard?
Congratulations. I know that's a in the world of Microsoft, that's a significant promotion.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity. A wonderful guy named Ruben Krippner owned this role before me, and he decided to make some life changes. And a bunch of people at once came to me and said, hey, there's this role where you could go back to working with IT pros and speak at the conferences and do all the stuff you love to do. And work with big customers, but unlike Windows, where when they would say, hey, we need this feature, and we would drop it into this dark hole and hope that it would see light.
It'll show up in 18 months.
Yeah, if that. I mean, some things they went, this is great. Other things, yeah, it's not on our roadmap now. Right. I'm actually sitting in building 34 today, which is our engineering building. I'm meeting with our engineering teams, and it's amazing how agile this team is. We just released a whole new suite of new features. They've done more here in the past year than they've done in the last five or six. So it's really refreshing, and it's a great team, and I'm super excited to be part of it.
This is just sort of power of the cloud, right, that you're able to deploy so quickly.
Yeah, it's even beyond that. I mean, they finally got rid of the Groove.exe client, which was the shackles around their feet for OneDrive users.
Interesting.
So they've now updated it with a new next generation sync client, and not only brought out a new desktop sync client for Windows, but an identical one standalone for Mac.
Okay.
It was interesting. My first day on the job, they go, here's your MacBook. And I'm like, what? And they're like, do you know? And they're like, yep, got to have Windows and Mac because we work on both platforms. Right. And I went, it was quite a mind shift for me.
That's
but releasing
really
that, a new admin center for control and better manageability and better security. It's really great to see the advances these guys are making.
So, and just to be clear for folks, like OneDrive and OneDrive for Business are very different products.
Yes, they are. Consumers have OneDrive, which is where you put your folders and your soccer team schedules. And you have that great shareability where you can create something, you can send it to other people, and they simply just go to outlook.com and they can edit it and collaborate. With OneDrive for Business, it gets a little bit deeper, where we have collaborative features like modern attachments, where you can attach any size document in Outlook and be able to send that to anybody. Because what you're doing is you're basically sharing the file via the cloud. You're basically sending them a link to open it rather than actually sharing this 5 gigabyte or 10 or 20 gigabyte file.
Which is what us at Exchange administrators always insist that people do, right? Stop using the mailbox as your file system. Just use links. And it was a SharePoint route to that. There's a bunch of different ways of doing it. So you're saying now this is kind of built-in behavior. You don't have to convince your users to do that.
No. When they go to attach, they just hit the drop down and it says, here's your recent document list, and they just click it and do it. So as long as it starts in OneDrive, that's great. But then we heard there needs to be a better path where OneDrive needs to be more than just cloud storage, but it really is where collaboration starts.
Okay.
So now you can take your SharePoint team sites and you can sync them directly to OneDrive. So you can actually see them right above your OneDrive folders. Hmm. So now you can take stuff from SharePoint, drop it right into your OneDrive, OneDrive, drop it right into SharePoint. So really breaking that down, as folks start to use Teams and team sites and Yammer and all these products, the key is it shouldn't matter where the data comes in from. And it shouldn't matter what you're using, whether it's a Mac, an iPhone, an Android phone, or a desktop to be able to get to it. It should be the seamless flow. And that's really what they're doing now with the new admin center and with the new client and with TeamSite Sync, is that no matter where you want to be able to get to stuff, it's there. It's ready to go from your phone, from whatever device, ready to share, ready to collaborate, and ready to work.
So this also builds me paths from whatever approach I've taken for managing, you know, documents in a project-oriented fashion towards this, and also the cloud.
Yep, and we support Graph and Flow, Microsoft Graph and Microsoft Flow. So you can start to build workflows around this with SharePoint and with Graph to really get the analytic data on who's doing what, where is it going, how is it being used, which is also really critical to so many.
Although Graph and Flow, those are Office 365 things only.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, because I do feel like we're still having the conversation about how far into the cloud is your organization, right?
Yeah.
And I do see OneDrive as one of the entry points just because it's so good at sharing.
It is. And the compliancy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we meet all the major compliancy. It's finally gotten to a point, and you know, this is very debatable for some customers, other people do it, but our security in the cloud is better than most companies' on-prem security.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem arguing that for the vast majority of organizations until you're at a size where you could be running your own cloud.
Right.
Just the basic concept of 24/7 eyes on security. You know, that's an expensive proposition for most organizations.
Yeah. And now with Office ATP and Windows ATP and all of the new advanced threat protection tools, you have that ability not just to be reactive, but to now be proactive, to look for trends within the whole intrasphere and exosphere and see these are things that are happening. This is a weird file. This person was in Beijing. Now they're here. What's going on? So being able to bring all that data and give you the power really shows that off. So for our customers that feel comfortable, what we're seeing is them moving from SharePoint Online to a hybrid. We're going to start using OneDrive in the cloud, start to use some of this. Our SharePoint we're going to keep here as part of that migration that they'll see. And as we've met, you know, HIPAA and all the different ISO standards, to start to see that continue to move forward.
So the hybrid part is I might still have SharePoint on-prem, but OneDrive obviously being in the cloud as my collaboration point across the internet.
Yeah, or Yammer or Teams, things like that, that they're starting to use across their groups. Yeah.
Well, because it's not a trivial thing to expose a SharePoint, an on-prem SharePoint site, to the internet. You know, that's that, and often you have branch offices or you have people traveling the field. You want a way to do that. So, and the argument has been just move it up to SharePoint Online. Like, it's just not worth the pain.
Right. But there are still people who just, they still truly believe that they are going to secure their data better than the cloud can. And that's just going to take time and changing of the guard and people using more cloud services, seeing not just that ubiquity across all of their devices, but starting to feel more secure. And that's just going to take time, because you and I were taught very differently that we're going to keep it here and we're going to secure this, and I can secure my data better than anybody else can, than EMC or Rackspace or those folks. But that's changed so dramatically, it's going to take time for that to catch up.
Yeah, and I've seen both scenarios, right? I have seen a private data center burn down or be robbed. I've also seen a third-party ISP get raided by the FBI because of one bad actor, and it gutted the whole place because they didn't know really what they were doing, and the judge wrote to permit, and so the FBI literally emptied a data center.
Yeah.
You know, it is crazy to sort of think about the spectrum of problems here. I mean, it's one of the things I do like about the public cloud. Having toured a couple of like Azure sites and AWS sites, good luck rating something of this scale. Like, it's just so massive.
Yeah, it's several football fields. The one in Ireland we built is, what, like 10 football fields or something like that. It's absolutely huge. And we just opened one in Germany so that we can help those companies that say, we have to have our data within the EU or within our own country, starting to do more and more of those so that people can have that local compliancy.
They're owned by a German entity, right? Like, that was part of the issue, right? So, I mean, it is very interesting. We're dealing with that here in Canada as well, now that we have Canadian data centers that use Azure technology. So we have that sort of crossover point between these different jurisdictions. And I think in the current political climate, people are even more sensitive about jurisdiction.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Although when I think Canadian data centers, I get a whole who's on first. Where's our data stored? It's in Canadian Storage A. Which one? No, Canadian storage A. You mean like AB? No, you know, just go back and forth.
I'm going to let you get away with that joke, Stephen. I think that's okay.
I'm an expat. I was born in Montreal, so go. I'm allowed.
You're allowed. But most people, no. I would allow that. But for this one, okay. Makes a lot of sense. When you talk about the advanced threat protection, is this, it's not just your own people being the Microsoft people able to see who's trying to attack their infrastructure, but attacks from within. If I've got a bad actor employee doing inappropriate things inside of OneDrive, it's going to be able to pick that up.
Yeah, because we have ATP for Office, ATP for Windows. So one is looking at, it started by only looking at Exchange, and now it goes beyond that. Right. We've invested billions of dollars in our cybersecurity center. And the goal was, antivirus software is great once you found a problem. But what goes out and says, hey, this person opened up a file and it was named this, but it had an exe in it. This person has logged in from here and now has come over from here. Or this is some weird activity. By being to understand what those baselines are and to do two things, to go outside and take a look at everything that's happening in the world from a security standpoint and boil that down into a set of actions that are being taken by other users that are creating threats. Then by giving that information to you, and then for your own internal closed loop system to go ahead and do the same thing and then take a look at the data that's coming in from the outside, match it to the data that you've gathered securely on the inside that isn't being shared, the private data versus the public stuff that we all send back, you're able to get these heuristic algorithms that start to say, this looks weird.
Right.
And here's what we think it is, or this is what we're seeing. And then to be able to click a button that says, yes, take the action and take care of this, to go ahead, whether that's throw it in a lockbox, isolate it and do that. So I always say antivirus is more reactive. You already have a problem. It's trying to solve it. This is the one where you're not only strengthening your house, but you're looking for people who are walking by it, looking at it strangely. And now that we're seeing the ATP product through Windows, through Office, through Exchange, and purveying its way through, because it's basically the same kind of back end with just different sets of rules and what it's looking for on the front end, we're able to look at files that are coming in, take a look at our users, what they're bringing in, what they're putting out, and how it's moving through all the users, and really creating a very intelligent system, which is allowing IT administrators to have a 360 that they've never been able to have before over all the information flowing through their networks.
I remember the early Office file viruses, the Word viruses and things, generally propagated by USB key.
Yeah.
You know, and then once it got into one document, it got into another document. Next thing you know, like, it's kind of everywhere. It was a very challenging time to be able to sort of catch a zero day or catch an early incarnation of that as it gets introduced into OneDrive. Just to know that that started early, even when it's not a bad actor, it's just somebody made a mistake.
And that's where a lot of it comes from. Yes, there's a lot of bad actors and coming in, but often it's just somebody doing something that just didn't make any sense. Oh, I saw this, I'm going to download it. Or they happen to have it on an unsecure device, an unsecure phone, something at home. They send it to themselves, which so many people do. I'll send this to myself and I'll look at it at work, not realizing what they've done. So yeah, absolutely.
Not realizing how they expose themselves. Right? It's super easy to do. And yeah, again, not bad actors, just unaware or happens so fast kind of thing. And then you sort of subsides. And also, all too often, you know, as the IT guy at the center of all this flow of stuff, like, it's almost a smell thing that you're like, something odd is going on here. Because it's too hard to do overall heuristics. There's just so much data to be looking at all the time. And I'm only one guy, or, you know, I'm a small team. This is not our full-time job. We've got other things to do all of the time.
And there are people who sit around all day long going, how can I scam somebody? I was hearing this morning there's a new telemarketing scam that somebody calls you and the first thing they say is, can you hear me? And as soon as you say yes, they record it. Then they go ahead and add that saying that you wanted some online services, and they take the yes you did and they basically splice it in there.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you're like, freaking brilliant. Somebody sat around all day and said, what if we did this? And somebody said, that's great.
How do we get a yes, right?
How do we get a yes?
Yeah.
And that's something that people are used to through social engineering. Sure. And social engineering is is how this is all happening. It is, what are we sensitized and desensitized to? And how do we take a desensitized issue that we hear every day that doesn't raise our consciousness anymore and play upon that to be able to use that as an entry point in some way, shape, or form?
And you know, I've just gotten to the point now where I've realized there are no phone calls coming to me that aren't on my schedule that I want.
Right. Right.
And anytime I answer the phone, not knowing who it is already, and that it's, hey, it's 3 o'clock, it's Steven, it's time to answer the phone, I'm unhappy. Like, invariably when I do it, I'm like, ah, why did I answer this?
Yeah.
It's just like, you know what? Leave a message.
Yeah. I now live my life going to voicemail. Yep. And now with voice transcription, I go through it, delete 90% of them, and I go, oh, that was something I actually wanted. And they have a new number and I'll add it to my phone book. But yeah, I screen everything.
Yeah.
I just assume. I assume the worst. And I think IT pros have to do the same. You have to pretty much assume everything coming in is bad.
Yeah.
And then sort of work backwards from there. You're also going to learn about trusted zones. Who are areas of the company
right.
that you absolutely can trust? Who are areas of the company that you cannot trust anything they do at all? Which generally, unfortunately, tends to go with age as they get older versus some of the younger folks, yeah, and what they're doing. So it's kind of interesting.
I don't know. I'm also dealing with a certain number of millennials who are absolutely convinced they know what they're doing and are wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And I've some of them are my daughters, actually. But that's a different issue. Yes, absolutely. There's nothing like the confidence of youth.
Yes.
Stephen, give me 1 second here to pay the bills, because this episode of Run As is brought to you by IT Edge Intersection. IT is transforming, and the techniques and tools you've used for the past decade or more are less relevant. It's all changing. Cloud services are reality, automation is penetrating all aspects of operations, and software is being delivered faster than ever. It's no longer a safe bet to just sit and do what you've been doing. But there's no reason to panic. The experts at IT Edge Intersection are here to help you understand how to use these new technologies, new approaches, and new techniques, all with a real-world focus that acknowledges the realities that you deal with every day. Make your job easier and up your value to your organization by attending IT Edge Intersection in Orlando, May 21st to 24th. And if you use the code RUNAS, you'll get a discount on your registration. See you there. You should be coming to my show, my friend.
I should be coming to your show.
Yeah.
We should chat about that.
We'll have to work on that. Not that it's a conflict of interest for me, but you know, all I do all day is think about what folks need to know next. It seems to be my job.
Well, let me ask you this, since we're talking about what's next, and we're going to have a presence at Build, I'll be at Build, which will be a first for me because I've never done that conference. And of course, Ignite, and I'm going to Europe to do some of our tech events, which is great. I get to go back to Europe again. What would you like to see us do as we take a look at OneDrive? Where is the area as you sort of look at it and play with it, where we're weak and we could do more?
I'm totally with you that this idea of seamless storage, that stuff just works, that you can organize things by a project basis without a lot of labor, because normally it's so much tinkering. So just that intuition that these things should be together, whether they're stored in different places, I think that's hugely compelling. The big one for me that I do regularly with OneDrive is I'm sharing a file to someone. And I wish I could put a time limit on that.
You actually can now.
Yeah?
You can actually do expiration dates of links. That's something new that we've added. You can set it as an admin, or you can do it now. It's part of our new online sharing experience. So when you go ahead and choose share a file, you'll get a pop-up on the right that will say how long and can it be anonymous? Can they forward it? You actually get that as part of our new sharing experience when you're using our online client.
And are you getting actually more granular into this, more rights management? It's like they can have a copy of it, but they can't share it, that kind of thing.
Correct. Or they can't forward it to somebody else, or they can't download it. So that granularity is something we've been asking folks for. You're also going to be told when somebody via your mobile client or your desktop client, when somebody has accepted that link and opened it.
Right.
And we're going to be adding some new functionality, which will then tell you when somebody has commented. So we're going to be doing more of that where it will pop up on your phone or pop up on your desktop. And then some of the other features like max path and getting rid of, we didn't accept things like pound sign and percentage. That's going to go away very soon. We've gotten rid of our file limits where you can only transfer so many files. So what's great is the guy who pretty much created SharePoint and OneDrive is a guy named Jeff Teeper, who was actually part of my interview loop and his head. He left. He went to a different part of the company. Satya asked him about a year ago to come back, and he has just been on fire. It has been absolutely great working with him and Jason Moore and Omar Shaheen. Omar Shaheen has a great blog. I encourage you guys to check out. He's a really good, like, everyday gadget tech blog that he posts something on once a week. but he's just been on fire on what he wants to see this product do. He's super passionate. He was directed directly by Satya to come back and retake this over and move it forward because the product had become very stagnant. And where we're seeing a lot of folks in the competitive space around just file share, it really needed to be more than just online storage. How do we make this part of that organic thread that should move through all the things that you do in Office? And Jeff is really bringing that to fruition and making that a priority. And it's great. We take a look. We have a website called User Voice where anybody can go online and say, I want to see this feature functionality. And I've sat in the meetings where we take a look and say, hey, this one is 800 upvotes. Let's take a look at it. When are we going to do it? And the engineering teams actually answer on that site, yes, we're going to do this. Yes, we're taking it under advisement. No, not going to happen at this time. This is actually, I've sat in the meeting with all of our senior people and they make that decision right then and there. Is this something we should start to move forward on and do? And that's just awesome to see that happen. And I encourage folks that are not seeing what they want in the product to go out to User Voice and go ahead and just vote on ones that are there, or add new ones, because that is, it is absolute democracy in action. It's beautiful to see.
Well, and it's, you know, I like the collective effect. So it's not like you're only responding to a narrow group of people. I mean, I'm an influencer. Heck, I've got your phone number. I suspect I have more influence than I should. I like that this is a common path for everyone so that you can actually look at the gestalt. The people that care enough to upvote things and to comment on things. And I just pulled up the OneDrive thing and it's like duplicates of files and photos management.
Yeah.
That's right. A huge problem, man. It happens a lot.
And we're going to be bringing in support for photos into OneDrive for Business so that you can tag those and manage those and also set workflows on those.
Right.
One of the things that, you know, people are saying is I want to be able to take pictures of all my receipts and I want a little button that pops up on my screen that I hit and sends it into the folder for my current trip.
Nice.
Awesome. Love it. So yeah. We're going to bring that to fruition.
You know, now you start throwing a little at machine learning. And so you sort of recognize, oh, that's a photo of receipt. Should I be doing this with it?
Right.
I think this is one of the things we're seeing in Office 365 that is a subtle thing that most people don't realize is that 365 is doing a really good job of starting to integrate all of those different tools together so that it makes smarter assumptions on your behalf.
Yeah. And there are great opportunities for developers now to make money with those.
Sure.
We constantly have customers saying, hey, I love this, but I wish it did that. And it's so very specific to their, not even to their industry, but often just to their business case, because they're in manufacturing, they're in healthcare, and it's something super specific, that there are so many great opportunities for folks to make these plugins that go directly into Office, downloadable for $4, but they have 300, you know, 100,000, 30,000, 50,000 users.
Right.
There's a lot of great money to be made on really simple, but very specific projects. And I think that's one of the things that I want to land at Build is here's how you really make money. People already know how to make it with SharePoint. Let's show how to do it with OneDrive as well.
Yeah. The SharePoint market, you know, the online model is not as insular. You don't make money the same way at all.
Right.
That you used to in SharePoint. And SharePoint used to be an interesting business for some folks where once you got yourself a half a dozen or a dozen good customers, that was it. You were done.
Yeah. Right?
Like that's as much as you could sustain. That would put your kids through college.
Yeah. Right?
Like you would be busy trying to keep those systems running as well as they could and working on behalf of your customer. Like you're not exploiting anybody here. Everybody's pretty happy with what you're doing. But the models have changed. It doesn't work the same way anymore. I remember Small Business Server being like that too.
Yes, yes. Sure.
I interviewed some great people that's like, oh, I've got 20 customers and I keep their systems healthy. I am remote IT for them.
Yeah. And now people are saying, I want to do that through one console,
right,
in the cloud, online, and manage it, you know, see them separately, but be able to look across all of them for health purposes. We've made that so much easier for, God, I wish I had it back when I was managing 15, 20 small customers, the amount of time I would spend rather than using something like MDM or Intune or ATP or these tools to take a look at the health, what's been done, what's been stored, where are they at? That sort of looking at my cockpit and all my gauges and knowing that we're on track, so much easier today.
Yeah, much simpler to do all of that. And I think when I think about OneDrive for Business, I think about being able to put policies around how long you're allowed to share something out to somebody else or, you know, how much interaction can happen there. When do we consolidate? When do we archive? Like that to me is really interesting. It's just a thinking of storage at another level.
Yeah. Yeah. At this elastic storage. And what's great is, you know, we're giving customers more and more of that storage. They get, you know, over 5 terabytes, and we can increase that for any E5 customer to whatever they want. Sure. You now can do things like filter, because we had every IT pro shoving every ISO in there.
Yeah.
And now the head of IT can say, no more ISOs. This is ridiculous, and it's not the place to store them. Or sure, it's fine. That granularity of, I mean, I was amazed when I came on board and found out to manage OneDrive, you had to use PowerShell. And I'm like,
of course you do.
Yeah. So now there's a full GUI, which allows you to do all your auditing, all your DLP, how much are people being shared? How can they do this? So all of that is there now. And it's great just to see this evolution. So I feel pretty lucky that I got here at the right time and jumped in past some of the birthing pains.
Sure.
But there still is a lot of work to do. And we're very open to hearing what customers say, and we're acting on it quickly, which is a very refreshing change from my Windows days.
So is director of product marketing, is that an inbound marketing, like you're taking in feedback from the customer, or is it an outbound marketing finding new customers for the product?
Yes. So I own our external experiences. I work very closely with the people designing our web pages. Yep. We're going through a massive redesign. I sit with some very large customers. I'm going to London in 2 weeks to sit in an advisory council with about 20 European customers. And then I come over here to building, you know, 34, and I'll sit here 2 or 3 days a week with the engineering folks. So what's great is I get to really kind of sit on both sides with our product managers. Sure. And our product marketers, and sort of sit between the two and go, here's where we need to steer the ship. And we need to do this on the product development side. And this is what we need to do to better tell our story here. So it's really great that I get to be that fulcrum between those two ends and really help to kind of drive this, the really amazing work that we're seeing on both sides of the fence.
Do you have a sense of how quickly you guys can ship features these days? Like, is it a weekly thing or a quarterly thing? How often are you pushing new stuff out?
We look about 6 months out. Right. So we talk about a year out, but we're about 6 months out. The next big feature is obviously going to be placeholders. That's something we announced at Ignite that we're going to bring back this year. But there are some which we've said we want to get this in the next 6 months, and those can go out within the next 2 to 3 weeks. So we're looking at a big update probably every half. So, you know, January to June, 1 to 2 big moments in time. July to December, 1 to 2 big moments in time, and then lots of delighters and things that people have been asking for that we'll then go ahead and bring in and roll up, like a bring your own key feature is something that we'll be bringing before the summer, which a lot of customers have asked for. So that's on roadmap. What's great is out of the stuff we said we were going to deliver in January, February, March, we've delivered 90% of it before January was over.
That's good. The placeholder thing's really interesting because, you know, we just forget that we don't all have infinite storage everywhere. And that sync is not a small thing, especially when you start getting these, you know, I'm a guy who tends to keep my storage very granular, separate folders for separate things and so forth. Mm-hmm. And but lots of people, it's like everything in one place and I need all my stuff.
Yeah.
And if it's terabytes, that's not my problem.
Well, it's great when an admin can say, look, anything you've opened in the last 90 days is going to be local in your machine, especially as hard drives get smaller.
Yeah.
But hey, you can see everything that is important to you in your world and then make that decision from there. And that was a really great feature in Windows 7 where I would redirect my user profile to OneDrive. So I had everything across my devices. Making that a little bit more ubiquitous and making it easier for users where they just turn it on and it works. And the fact that if your PC dies and you go to buy a new one, you are right to the moment your PC died, everything that you were working on.
Right.
Then add UEV to that, which brings all of your personalized settings across all your devices. Now we're at that replaceable PC scenario. So I think bringing that back, making OneDrive at the heart of it, adding UEV to that. Now we're really at this really great point of buy a new PC. We can now upgrade from Pro to Enterprise, a key feature in Windows 10, push down all the policies. You connect your OneDrive. There's all of your files. Turn on UEV. There's your background pattern. Grab picture of grandma, whatever it is, all your browser favorites, and everything is right there. And that's what people have really been asking for, is that elastic replacement.
Sure.
That I just turn it on and it just does what I want it to do the way that I want it to go. Very similar to what a lot of folks have done in mobile, but it's been very hard to achieve that on PC now to get it to that point.
Well, we did it with ConfigMan and stuff, but it was a lot of care and feeding to make that happen.
Yeah. And it didn't work very well if you were working from home and had a new PC shipped to your home. You still have to come in and do an F12 boot. And
exactly.
Now with in-place upgrade and Azure Active Directory, we've really done away with that. So it is that point in time, and you and I have had this conversation many times, that IT pros need to take a step back and say, is there a better way to do this? And does this really make sense? And most of all, can I provide a better experience for my end users that's invisible or seamless?
Yeah.
And that's where we find great IT pros succeed, when I just turn it on and it works, because that's what I need to be able to do.
Yeah, and part of my mission these days is finding how can I deliver these services with less care and feeding on the operations side, right? Mm-hmm. Keeping a good mirror deploy config man infrastructure place, not a trivial thing. Like, that's constant work.
Yeah.
The fact that I can offload a lot of that and just have it happen is pretty compelling. And you've said Enterprise Edition a couple of times there. How vital is Enterprise Edition when it comes to OneDrive for Business?
It's not, but we do find that custom. I mean, if you're on Pro, you're going to get that same great experience. But there are some features in the E5 SKU where now you're adding EMS and Azure Active Directory. And I think the key from a Windows standpoint is that Azure Active Directory, so you can have somebody buy a new PC, they type in their corporate ID, goes to Azure Active Directory, then it pops up on their phone and says, if you are really that person, put your thumbprint here, moving away. And we've talked about this from the what you know to what you have.
Yep.
Upgrades from Pro to Enterprise, and then that's where EMS comes in, and then it's going to hook up all those inner workings and all those pipes for you, do those upgrades, set up those policies, and do it. So it's not that Enterprise is key. Customers can do this with Pro, but it is that Azure Active Directory. It is that Windows Intune MDM piece, and having features that are now in Anniversary Edition, like UEV, which is now free, that was part of MDOP, that's now free to end users, to really bring that promise that end users want to see of that elastic replaceable PC.
Yeah, just being capable of doing all that. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're in a fun location these days, my friend, and congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very excited to be able to get back to Ignite and get back into the big rooms and talk about what we're doing, coming to build and getting to meet some new audiences. So I miss IT pros. It's something I've not been shy about saying for a long time. And over the past 3 years, it's been great to work with some of our largest customers in the United States and work with our field. But I'm happy to get back to my roots and back to speaking at these conferences with folks. And yes, I would love to speak at your conference. We should chat about that.
And I will be at Build. I'll be running a podcasting space with a bunch of other podcasters while we're there. So
cool.
All kinds of different sorts of shows, iOS shows and Linux shows and Android shows. Like this.
I should get you our head of mobile development. He would be a great person for you to talk to.
I think we'd have a fine time. Stephen Rose, thank you so much for coming on the show. Always a pleasure, sir.
Always a pleasure to see you too, my friend. Take care.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.